We're in the midst of a series that came about just in time for football season that deals with God's game plan. Get me started on the first slide, if we can. God's game plan. The idea is, what does our life look like when we see what God expects of us? What is God's plan for us? The reason I wanted to do this is I think so often we make the mistake of saying, God, here's what I want my life to be. Now, would you make this happen? This is who I want to become. This is what I want to accomplish. Now, Lord, would you bless it? Instead of saying, God, you're the author of life. You know how this life thing works a whole lot better than I do. Would you show me your plan? You see, it's a whole different way of viewing life, of understanding reality, if you will. And so that's why I wanted us to do this. And so we've talked about two or three different aspects of God's game plan. And this morning, we come to avoiding penalties. You know, the best part of watching a football game is the play that doesn't happen very often. Especially for those of us who don't really know all the ins and outs and the details of the game. You know, I like to sit in the stands and I like to watch my team win. I'm not sure I can tell you how they're lined up and what play they ought to run or what the names of the plays even are. But I like to watch them do something great. And the best part of the game for me is the rare play that makes it worth sitting through the whole game. That one play where the quarterback throws the ball and the wide receiver is taken off. He's already beat the guys who are defending him. He catches the ball and he takes off and he runs all the way down the field. Long, big plays, and there's a touchdown and everybody yells and screams. And as much as I love that, I hate when all that happens and then you look over on the other side of the field and there's a yeller marker on the ground. Oh, the flag on the play. And brings it all the way. You know, if we could just avoid the penalties, wouldn't the game be fun? If we could avoid the penalties, life sure would be easier. You know, when that referee throws that penalty flag, that doesn't mean you've lost the game. It doesn't mean the game's over and you go home loser. It just sets you back a little bit. Right? You and I need to know the rules so we can play the game. We need to understand the rules for God's plan, for life as He planned it. When we mess up those rules, when we step outside of the boundaries, when we don't go with God's plan, He loves us so much that He doesn't say, okay, you've lost. You're out. Game's over. He just lets us suffer the setback so we can start again. That's what's called grace. Have you ever broken one of the rules? Have you ever messed up in life? God ever had to throw the flag on you? Can we be honest enough to say that we've all been there? I've seen that yellow flag in my face a lot. I'll bet you have too. So let's think about that this morning. How do you play a football game with no rules? Line up wherever you want. However you want. Throw the ball back and forth however you want. Not even sure where the goal line is anymore because there's no rules. That means there's no white lines on the field. How do you play a game with no rules? You can't. How do you live life without knowing what the boundaries are? How do you live life without knowing the direction to go? If we're going to submit to God's game plan, then one of the major things we have to do is say, God, teach me the rules you want me to play by. Show me the direction to run. Show me some kind of markers along the way so I know where I am in your plan, so I don't get too far off. And so he gives us those rules. He explains it to us. Now, I think what we fail to understand is those rules are here to make life make sense. The rules are here to make life make sense. They're not here so that God can say, you messed up, you're a loser, you're no good. They're not here just arbitrarily. Did you know that the rules that God established in his game plan, the rules that God established in his plan for our life, are rules that were put there to protect us and those around us. They're rules that were put there to help us know the way to go so that we could become more like Jesus. And so, what happens? What happens when we break the rules? Penalty flag goes up. The Holy Spirit says, believer, wake up. We recognize the penalty. We acknowledge the setback. We ask forgiveness. We confess. And we move forward. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul is talking to Christians about avoiding penalties. He's talking to Christians about the ways in which we forget who we are sometimes. So he says in chapter 3, at verse 1, he starts talking about you've been raised with Christ, so set your hearts on things above. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You died, and your life is now hidden in Christ, in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Kind of the positive side of the argument. He says, remember who you are. When you became a Christian, the old died. You've become something new in Christ. So think about him and things related to him instead of stuff here. That's kind of the positive side. Then he flips the coin, and I guess you could say the negative side of the teaching starts in verse 5, where he gives them specifics in how to avoid penalties. In verse 5, he says, put to death, therefore. Why? Because the old you is dead. Since the old you is dead, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. In order for us to avoid penalties, we want to first of all die to sensual sins. What he says is, when you accepted Christ, you became a new creature. The old you died. So remember who you are. Since the old you is dead, then let the behaviors that you used to participate in, let the thoughts and the attitudes that you had, let those die also. You're not that person anymore. Stop acting like that person. You're someone new in Christ. So there should be a new attitude and a new way of thinking and behaving. And so he begins with what we call the sensual sins. Those that deal with purity, those that deal with those most intimate parts of who we are. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to that earthly nature. Remember, he just told us to think about things above. So put to death the stuff of the earthly nature. Sexual immorality, that Greek word is very broad. It encompasses all kinds of sexual immorality. That's why I chose to read from the NIV this morning, because it makes that a little bit more clear than some of the other versions. Some of the versions seem to suggest it's talking about a specific type of sexual sin. And this word actually encompasses all of sexual sin. It says, put to death all that stuff. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, even greed, which is a form of idolatry. Put that to death and don't let it rise again. Several years ago, the Peanuts comic strip had Lucy and Charlie Brown practicing football, and you've seen it many times, because part of what makes it funny is it happens over and over again. You've seen it. Lucy would hold the ball for Charlie. He's going to come up. He's going to kick the ball. And every time Lucy ever held the ball for Charlie, he would approach the ball and kick with all his might. And at just that moment, Lucy would pull the ball away, and Charlie would kick up into the air and fall flat on his back. And we saw it happen again and again and again. In one comic strip, Lucy puts the ball up there, says, "Come kick the ball, Charlie." Charlie said, "No, I've learned." He said, "Every time I try to kick the ball, you remove it and I fall flat on my back." They went back and forth for the longest time. Finally, Lucy broke down in tears. She admitted, "Charlie Brown, I've been so terrible to you over the years, picking up the football like I have. I've played so many cruel tricks on you. I've seen the error of my ways. I've seen the hurt look in your eyes when I've deceived you. I've been wrong. I've been so wrong. Won't you give a poor, penitent girl another chance?" Charlie Brown was moved by her display of grief and responded, "Of course, I'll give you another chance." He stepped back as she held the ball, and he ran, and at the last moment, Lucy picked up the ball and Charlie fell flat on his back. Lucy's last words were, "Recognizing your faults and actually changing your ways are two different things, Charlie Brown." Ouch. Recognizing your faults and actually changing your ways are two different things. You see, there's something that happens inside of us When we hear what is right, we agree with it. And because we agree with it, we think we're living it. We've got to remember that talking about changing our ways and changing our ways are two different things. As believers, Paul challenges us here, and he says, that's the way you used to live. I think it's verse 8. He says, that's what you used to walk in. That's who you used to be. You're not that person anymore, so stop acting like the old you. Recognize who you are in Christ and live like the new you that you are. The first thing we have to do is to die to sensual sins. But then we also lay aside social sins. Now this gets fun. Look with me at the scripture again. Now we're at verse 8. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. We call these social sins because they are the sins that we commit every day toward each other in social life. And we have actually even basically said these are the okay sins. These are understandable. Everybody does these things. And so instead of working toward becoming more like Christ, we have just said, we'll let it slide. And so we begin to speak in ways that we shouldn't speak, and we begin to talk about people behind their backs, and we begin to gossip about them. Why? Because it's socially acceptable. It's okay. Even lying is not considered a problem, and as long as we don't consider it a problem, we don't really pay attention to it. Scripture says, Paul says to believers, that's all a part of who you used to be. Remember who you are and live differently. Christians should interact differently with one another and with those others around them than folks who haven't been changed by Christ. There should be a difference. I know, and you know people who are Christians, believers, and yet they believe that it's acceptable to lie if it helps them accomplish their own political purposes. I know people, and you do as well, who make the mistake of believing that it's acceptable for me to tell a lie if it gets me the attention I want. And since lying is socially acceptable, it's not hurting anybody. And the problem is these Christians can very often wind up getting in the habit of lying, and they can spend their whole lives just not telling the truth because they enjoy the attention that it gets them. My goal today is not to beat up on me or you or anybody else, but my goal is Paul's goal. Paul's goal is, let me bring these things to your attention so you can avoid the penalties, the setbacks, so you can keep moving forward. So Paul says, die to those sensual sins. Put them to death. Lay aside the social sins, those sins that G. Campbell Morgan called the sins in good standing, the things we tend to overlook. Bishop Warren A. Candler was preaching about the lies of Ananias and Sapphira. And he asked his congregation, if God still struck people dead for lying, where would I be? The congregation kind of snickered a little bit, nodded their heads. They understood what he was saying. And then all of a sudden, the bishop shouted, "I would be right here preaching to an empty church." These are those things that will be a part of our lives. We're going to commit a foul. The yellow flag is going to be thrown. When it is, we need to pay attention. We need to confess, repent, and move forward. But wouldn't it be great if we could avoid that to begin with? Die to sensual sins, lay aside the social sins, and be renewed in Christ. He says in the next verse there, verse 10, you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. In verse 9, he said, don't lie to each other since you have taken off your old self and its practices. In verse 10, you have put on a new self, and it is continually being renewed. He says you put off the old and you put on something new. When you accepted Christ and you took the name Christian, you put on the uniform for God's team. So remember whose team you're on. And don't go back to who you used to be. Remember who you are in Christ. He made you something new. And the remarkable thing is he continues to renew his children. That's what we see in the Greek. You find the two tenses in that word in verse 10. You have put on the new self, which is being renewed. You have put on a new self. You've been renewed in the past, and you are continually being renewed as he continues to work to make you like him. I'm glad he hasn't given up that work, aren't you? I'm glad that I know that he's going to continue that good work until it's done. He's going to keep working on me until I become more like Christ. I want to encourage you today, don't spend your life getting backed up and getting penalties. Don't spend your life dealing with the yellow flags. When a flag is thrown, learn. Confess, repent, and line up to go again. And move forward. We can avoid some of the penalties if we'll commit ourselves to being more like Jesus and less like our old selves. Father, thank you for loving us enough to show us how this life can be lived. Thank you for showing us the boundaries, for teaching us the rules. Forgive us on two levels. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we break the rules and fail you. And on another level, Lord, forgive us for not taking those times more seriously. Father, we want to be right with you. We want to play life by your plan. We want to become more like Jesus. Help us to accomplish those things for your glory, is our prayer in his name.